Thank you, Silati. Before we read that that in English, I just want to congratulate those that were baptized yesterday. You know, what you did yesterday is you're stepping into the water, declaring your faith, following Christ. Yes, it's one of the most beautiful decisions you could ever make in this lifetime. So right now, what I'm going to be talking about is what happens next? You know, it's probably a question that a lot of us, at least I did when I was baptized years ago. You know, you feel peaceful, you feel clean, or you feel close to God right now. It's like the high, being high of the baptism. Or maybe you're not quite sure what to feel, or you're just feeling a bit overwhelmed. Whatever that feeling is, you know, that step that you made is a massive milestone. So the question is, what now, right? What now? What happens tomorrow when everything goes back to normal? You know, you go back to your life. The answer to that, we're going to be looking at Jesus, because right after Jesus was baptized himself, life didn't become smooth, wasn't easy for him. In fact, in the book of Matthew, which Silati just read, it tells us something quite intense that happened straight after his baptism. So let's now read, get your Bibles out. Matthew 3, verse 13. So it's the end of that chapter. And we're just going to ignore the chapters here, because these are written in letter forms. There's no chapter to begin with, so it just runs through the next one. So Matthew 3, verse 13 runs all the way past the chapter and goes into verse 1 of the chapter 4. In English, it says here, Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have the need to be baptized by you, yet you are coming to me. But Jesus answering said to him, allow it this time. For in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. After he was baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and settling on him. And behold, a voice from the heavens said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Okay, let's pray, Lord. I pray, Lord, that there will be a fresh revelation of who you are in here, Lord, and give us also a revelation of who we are in you, Father God. Why are we doing this? And yes, Lord, let it be a blessing to everyone who hears the word. And in turn, Lord, let them take it outside this church wall and bless others also. So thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 First of all, the passage begins Jesus arriving at the Jordan River to be baptized, right? Which is odd, because the thing is, you can clearly see how John was totally confused by this. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, you know, to turn away from your sin. But the thing is, Jesus didn't have sin. So John said, I need to be baptized by you, but you come to me. On verse 15, we look at Jesus' reply, and he says, allow it this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Excuse me. This has always boggled me. It's like, what does it mean? What did Jesus mean when he said to fulfill all righteousness? He didn't get baptized because he had sin, because he needed to be baptized to be cleaned. He got baptized to identify with us. That's the thing. By stepping into that muddy river, as Pastor Dad mentioned last week, in the water of baptism, Jordan River, it's not clean. It's not blue rivers of New Zealand, you know, like crystal clear. It's muddy. It's chaotic. And Jesus stepping onto that muddy river, Jesus is actually telling us that I'm stepping into the human history. You know, I'm standing right where they stand, where we stand. In order for all righteousness to be fulfilled, Jesus has to be identified with his people as the bearer of their sins. We read this in 2 Corinthians 5, 21. He says there, Paul says there, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Yeah. So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So when we get baptized, we're not doing a ceremony. Yeah. Well, obviously, it looks like a ceremony because we have to do things quite right, quite the same for everyone. But it's not just a ceremony. You're actually walking in the same path as Jesus did. He paved the way so that your story and his story will be linked forever. Yeah. Now, what happens next is one of the most beautiful moments in the Bible. You know, Jesus comes out of the water, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descends like a dove, and God the Father speaks. Verse 17, it says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." When I was baptized in Cornwallis, it was really cold. And as soon as I got out of the water, I was expecting the heavens to open as well. That was the expectation. And and none of that happened. And I was terribly cold because it is, you know, in the ocean. But I felt strangely warm straight after. You know, when they started praying for me, when our Pastor Jeff started praying, the leaders were praying for me, I felt warm. And I knew that God was there. The thing here, I want you to know something quite important. It's the timing of this whole blessing. Because if you're reading Matthew, this is at the beginning of Matthew chapter 3, right? Jesus has done nothing yet. Zero public appearance, zero miracles. You know, he hasn't healed the blind. He hasn't turned water into wine. He hasn't fed the 5,000. You know, hasn't preached anything, the Sermon on the Mount. He hasn't died on the cross yet, obviously. He hasn't earned anything, right? Nothing yet. We don't know about Jesus yet, because this is basically his first appearance. Even if you're watching The Chosen, you know, they all hinge on this particular moment. Everything kind of starts when Jesus was baptized. And they show you all where the apostles were at that time, but it all started here. The Father looks at him and says, "I love you, and I am well pleased with you," simply because of who he is. Not what he has done, because he hasn't done anything yet, right? The Father tells us that he is well pleased with him just because of who he is. Right?
Even blow it.
No. It covers the tears. Well, if you don't remember anything from this message, remember this, that your baptism, especially those who got baptized, is the seal of your identity. Yeah. Right? Yeah. When you came out of the water, God looked at you and said the exact same thing. You know, yeah. This is my son, my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter. Amen. Yeah, with whom I am well pleased. Amen. You don't have to spend the rest of your life performing to be loved by God. You don't have to be perfect to keep it. You are loved because you are his, simply put. Yeah. Your identity as a child of God is officially closed for debate. Right? What does that mean? It means your family can't argue it. Your friends can't argue it. Even the devil can't argue the fact that you are a child of God.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. But then we hit chapter 4, verse 1. Right? This is all continuous. This is not like, let's have a break and no, it's just one continuous thing. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Notice the very first word. Then, right? It was like, it continues on. Because immediately after the heavens were open, after the dove and the voice of approval, Jesus was led to a dry, lonely, brutal desert. And notice, as we read there, who sent him there? Was it the devil? No. It's the Spirit of God that sent him to be tempted in the wilderness. This is the hard truth about Christian life. We have to be honest about this, especially in baptism days. You know, mountaintop experience that yesterday was like, yeah, I'm a child of God, woo, I'm high. But the mountaintops of baptism is usually followed by the wilderness of testing. Yeah. I'm not trying to scare you, okay? Because tomorrow or next week, next month, even next year or a few years down the track, you know, the high may fade. And these little things like the old temptations going to knock on your door, you know, old insecurities will whisper in your ear. A friend might make fun of you for your faith. Or you might face a sudden financial burden or an argument at home. When that happens, the enemy or the devil will try to use the wilderness to make you doubt your baptism. You know, he will whisper in your ear, were you really baptized? Are you really a Christian? If you were a Christian, you wouldn't be struggling like this, right? If God really loved you, why is life so hard right now? Right? Those whispers in your ear. But once again, we don't look at anything else but Jesus. Because the wilderness didn't mean that Jesus had lost God's favor. The wilderness was a place where his identity was tested and proven. Yeah. The desert doesn't mean you've failed. All right, when you get into that, it means you're growing. The same Spirit that was with you during that water of your baptism is the exact same Spirit that will guide you through the season, the dry season of your life. And I love what Pastor Friday says when he was here 2 weeks ago. He said, some opposition means God is positioning you to a new position. I love that. You know, so what can we take from this? You know, it's a short message, I know, but I want to just focus more into our newly baptized and hopefully encourage you to be baptized as well. What can we take away from this passage that we're learning here? First of all, rest in your identity. Rest. You are a beloved child of God, period. That's it. You are a beloved child of God. God loves you and you are his, and no one can take that away from you. Okay? Not the devil, not anyone else, not even your pastor can tell you, because only you would know, because it's between you and God. Number two, expect the wilderness. It's going to happen, but don't fear it. Expect the wilderness, but don't fear it. Because when challenges come, don't view it as a sign that your baptism didn't work. Because it did. View them as an opportunity to lean more on the Spirit. Finally, don't walk alone. Right? I mentioned this before. Jesus went into the wilderness alone, but he did it so we don't have to. Right? Just look around you in this room. Yeah? Besides the handsome and beautiful faces that you'd see, you are not walking through the desert alone. Yeah? We are baptized into Christ. As I mentioned before, we are baptized into Christ, therefore baptized into his body, which is the church. What does that mean? That means we are family now. and we go through things together. So you have been buried with him in baptism. You have been raised to walk in newness of life. So have confidence in that new identity. Remember the voice of the Father. I love you. You are my beloved child. I am well pleased. And then let's walk into this new chapter together as a church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message you have us for today. We thank you, Lord, for those that took the step into the water of baptism. May it be a testimony for them. May it be a testimony for us who are witnessing it, Lord, that that more people are belonging to you. So we thank you, Lord, that no one can remove this from us, Lord, and that that your love will be on us. And I just pray, Lord, that each and every person who were baptized yesterday would just live up to that. And if challenges come, Lord, let your spirit guide them through it. Let your love outweigh the things that this world is giving them. And let them be a blessing, Father God, in the good times and in the bad times, Lord. Let them be a blessing. Let them continue worshiping you and searching for you. Search for your wisdom, Lord. And that, Lord, may they be a living testimony of how great you are, yeah, our Heavenly Father. So we thank you, Lord. Bless them. Bless us also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.